Well, I'm Josh, and I'm so excited to be here this morning. It's a great day in D.C. It's St. Patrick's Day, so happy St. Patty's Day. I see one good bright green shirt. Maybe some of you are hiding your green. That's okay. I also want to greet our online guests. Thank you for watching with us today. That's an amazing thing. Come on, about this church is wherever you're at around the world, you can be live with us. I also want to honor our lead pastors, Michael and Heather. They are the best. Come on. Just have to say that word and you go crazy because you already know. But I love our pastors dearly, dearly, dearly. They've taught us so much and loved us through so much. And I'm sure that's your experience as well. So we love them. They should be back next week. And I also want to dismiss our citizen kids. Can we give it up for our kids? Tell them how much we love them. That's you, Zoe. Dude, she's double snacking it, right? She got one in each hand. That's my girl. Well, some of you haven't seen me much. That's good because I've been in Fairfax. We are one church in multiple locations. And so the experience just ended over in Fairfax a little bit ago. But God's doing great things, and I'm excited to be with you. Some of you probably, you haven't met me. I was here last week, but my wife and I moved here to help be a part of the planting team that started this church about 12 years ago. And then God did cool things, and we've been serving under Michael and Heather for quite a while now. And so we're on the pastoral team. We helped pioneer the Fairfax campus for the last 3.5 years, and then we transitioned out of that just a few months ago. So we're excited at all God's doing here at Citizen Heights. I do want to honor my wife right here, my beautiful wife, Jenny. She's amazing. I'm telling you, I scored, man, big time. I won life's lottery in that one. So I love you, and she's, besides Jesus, she's the best thing that's ever happened to me. And then I have four daughters, two of whom just left with their snacks, but my older two teenagers are right here, so I love my kids. I'm proud of my kids. You should be proud of your kids. I'm very proud of my daughters. They're amazing, amazing godly women. Well, let's get to it. Today we're in week two of the series called Doing the Right Thing. Doing the Right Thing. And last week was kind of a little bit of an intro. Laid the foundation, got through a couple points. But what we're talking about is good decisions and God's best for my life. Because God does have amazing, great plans for your life. But there's times we come to crossroads in our lives where we actually need to make a decision. And God wants to help equip us with those tools for making wise decisions, making decisions that will leave lasting fruit, that will leave a legacy and not leave wreckage and havoc behind you, right? We want to leave a godly legacy. If you can, turn to 2 Chronicles in your Bible. 2 Chronicles, right after 1 Chronicles in the Old Testament. But when we're talking about decisions, you know, some decisions are just, they're simple, right? You almost don't even think about them, but you think about them a little, like, you know, what TV show am I going to watch? Where am I going to go after church to lunch? You don't put a lot into it. But then there's some decisions that you're faced with where, like, man, this is life-altering. Like, this is big, and I need to get this one right. And the cool thing is that God hasn't left us high and dry. He's given us a plan. He's given us some steps that we can take. He's equipping us. And so as a church, I believe God just wants to encourage us. He wants to help us in spite of our past, in spite of what decisions we've made that either work great or that didn't quite work out so well. I've made some of those in my life. But God's here to pick us up and help give us tools and set us on the right path. Because your decisions actually lead you to your destiny, right? The place you're at today where your decisions have ramifications, and so they lead you to your destiny. And so it's time for us to have a kingdom mindset when it comes to making the big decisions in our life and the small ones as well. But, man, especially those big ones, we want to nail it. So week two today, we're going to talk a little bit more about the how and how to make those godly decisions. But what I'm believing, hopefully with you, for you, is that this series will help bring clarity where there's been maybe confusion or cloudiness, and you get into that fog of, man, I got to make this decision. All of a sudden, everything gets cloudy. What you thought was true isn't true anymore, and God wants to help you. He wants to bring clarity. You know that God is a God of order? The Bible says he's not the author of confusion, But he's a God of order. And so he wants to help bring order to your life where there's been disorder in this area. Did you find 2 Chronicles chapter 1? All right, I gave you a little time to find it. I will read. We're reading from the New King James Version. It says, and Solomon went up there. This was King Solomon. He followed after his father, King David. And Solomon went up there to the bronze altar before the Lord, which was at the tabernacle of meeting, and offered 1,000 burnt offerings on it. That's significant. 1,000 burnt offerings, right? It doesn't say he made an offering, like one, right? This was an extravagant display of generosity by King Solomon. He didn't have to do that. He wanted to. He wanted to honor the Lord. And look at God's response to extravagant generosity. It says, on that night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, ask, what shall I give you? Another version says, ask whatever you want. Can you imagine that? God asking, whatever you want. And Solomon said to God, you have shown great mercy to David, my father, and have made me king in his place. Now, O Lord God, let your promise to David, my father, be established, for you have made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Verse 10 is what I want to key on. Now give me wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this great people of yours? Then God said to Solomon, because this was in your heart, and you have not asked riches or wealth or honor or the life of your enemies, nor have you asked long life, but have asked wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you, and I will give you riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had who were before you, nor shall any after you have the like. Man, Solomon was presented with a big decision. What do you want from God? He's like, God, I want wisdom. You've put me in this position. You've put me king over these people. I need to rule these people well, but I don't know how to do it. Have you been there in life? Like, God, you've put me here, but I don't know what to do. I need some wisdom. And Solomon asked God, and God's like, yeah, that and then some. It reminds me of Matthew 6:33, where the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Like we're putting him first and all these other things that you're concerned about. All those things will be added to you. You know, God's like, I'll take care of those. You know, the Bible says that he knows what you have need of even before you ask. But he still says, ask. Ask for that wisdom. Get that wisdom. We're called to be a people who desire and crave the wisdom that God has, because he has it, but he still tells us to ask for it. The Bible says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives it generously and will not withhold. Right? He's not just up there stingily holding stuff back, but he wants to give it generously to you. But he wants you to desire and to ask it. One of our other base texts was Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 7. It says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. And as I was reading that, another verse was brought to my mind. It was talks about the heart is deceitfully wicked above all. Who can know it? Right? And all we see today in media is follow your heart. Huh, right? The heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? It's like, okay, this verse is a reminder. Don't depend on your own understanding. Don't just... What does your heart say? No. What does the Bible say? What does God say? What does he have for you? He's got a plan for your life, and he wants to help you. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, God, we thank you that you hear our prayers. God, we pray right now you'd activate our faith. God, we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by a word from God. We pray that you'd speak to us through your word today. God, I pray you'd use me as a vessel. God, I pray that we'd be not only hearers of your word, but also doers of the word of God. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen, amen. Well, we're talking about doing the right thing, good decisions, and God's best for my life. And as I was preparing, I was remembering back to when I first started my banking career back in Seattle. This was about 19 years ago. And I would I'd take the bus from North Seattle down into Seattle, but I'd throw my bike on the front. There was like a bike rack that had a spot for two. Like you're hoping no one else puts their bike on, right? There's only two spots. But most of the time, I got my bike on there. So I take my backpack in, and then on my way home, I was like, I'm exercising, and I'm commuting home. This is amazing. And so I'd get on this trail called the Burt Gilman Trail, and it would take me through the University of Washington campus, and then I'd go along beautiful Lake Washington on this trail. It was gorgeous, I'll tell you what. But I'm very competitive. And so as I'd be riding, there people would be flying by me on these skinny, shiny, light road bikes with big old tires, bigger than mine, tubes that were much skinnier than my big, knobby, fat mountain bike tires, because I rode a mountain bike, okay? I also wore baggy shorts because I thought, spandex? Who wears spandex, right? Who knew? Now I wear spandex when I ride bikes, but you didn't need to know that. So anyways, so here I was like a parachute with my big old shorts and my mountain bike sitting straight upright versus, you know, but I would get frustrated when they go flying by me, and I would speed up and I'd go as fast as I can for like 30 seconds, and then they blow by me. And this was like guys, ladies, older ladies, just, right? It was a little crush to the ego. It's kind of like that in decision-making sometimes, right? There can be such a frustration if you don't have the right tools. I didn't have the if I had a road bike and I was wearing the slick spandex, I might have had a chance. But I was on my mountain bike, I had no chance. When we're faced with life's big decisions, I want you to feel equipped. God wants you to feel, man, I've got the tools in my tool belt. I can make these big decisions. I don't need to give these decisions to someone else to make for me. God can help me. He can bring me wisdom. He can bring counsel. And I can know the way God wants me to walk. Amen? Amen. So we're going to talk about that today. Proverbs 1:7. Well, to make wise decisions, I think first we have to know, and we talked about it last week, where does wisdom come from? Right? Where do we actually get wisdom? We talked a little bit about what it was not or where it does not come from, but Proverbs 1:7 says this. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is also the beginning of knowledge, it says. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Come on, we don't want to be those kind of people that despise wisdom and instruction. No, we welcome, we invite God's counsel. We invite His Word into our life. Studying God's Word will help make you successful. Okay, people are like, oh, what's the shortcut? How did you make it to the top? What was your success? They always want to know the shortcut. Well, it's not really a shortcut, but is what the Bible talks about. It says in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, it says, study this book of instruction. He's talking about the Bible, God's commandment to Joshua. Study it continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. You know, above all, we want to look to God when we're making our decisions. We want to look to Him, like, what does God think? What's His opinion versus what does man think? What do my neighbors think? What do my coworkers think? Right? The Bible says that the fear of man will prove to be a snare. Okay, it says it, Proverbs 29:25, the fear of human opinion disables. Trusting in God protects you from that. Okay, so when we put our trust in God, it protects us from, I'm just worried about what are they going to think when I make this decision. No. We trust God. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. All right, so that's the base. Like, we got to start there, right? We got to have a strong foundation. So we're talking about kingdom filters for making life's big decisions. Kingdom filters. And we're going to move through quickly. I'm prepping you. We're going to move quick, so look quick. You can take pictures quick of the notes that go up there, the scriptures. And also, we're going to move from the more objective to the more subjective, right? We're going to start with a big, wide base of the objective, the fact-based, okay? And then we're going to move to more of the subjective. So the first thing we talked about last week, just real quick, what does the Bible say? Get scriptural revelation, right? Before anything else, whatever decision you're making, make sure it lines up with the Word of God. That's basic. Secondly, we talked about my way or the higher way, the lordship of Christ. Am I submitted to Christ in this decision? Am I submitting my will to His will? When my will crosses His will, am I submitting and say, Lord, not my will, but Your will be done? Okay? And then number three, review as well. We talked about right thinking, having a renewed mind. Right, we want to have clear thinking. Isaiah 55:8-9 talked about His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His plans are better than our plans. And so we want to make sure that when we're making these decisions, we have right thinking. We make our plans, but the Lord determines our step. All right, number four, here's the new stuff. Here's the fresh stuff. You ready? You don't sound, are you awake? All right. If you're dozing up, you know what? I had narcolepsy in college. I literally, as soon as a professor would start lecturing, I would start dozing off. It was bad. Like, I actually got it diagnosed. It was tough. I did well, but anyways, food for thought. Number four, don't go it alone. Okay, we're talking about kingdom filters for big decisions in life. Don't go it alone. Don't go it alone. We're talking about counsel, getting wise counsel. One of the ways God speaks to his people is through other people. You can find it throughout the Bible. It's a pattern. He'd speak to someone and say, go tell so-and-so. Okay? God speaks to you also through other people. Obviously, that person you're going to be getting counsel from, if they're going to hear from God, has to be a believer. So we're going somewhere. You're getting wise counsel. You're not just going and asking somebody. You're not just going and asking a random coworker. You're not asking someone who maybe hasn't been before you in life or hasn't experienced things or hasn't overcome things or hasn't lived in a wise way. Okay? We're seeking wise counsel. We're not just seeking counsel. We're not seeking a yes person. Hey, what do you think about me doing this? Yeah, okay, good. Me too. I agree. We're like, no, that's not what you're looking for. Okay? We're seeking wise counsel. Proverbs 15:22 says this, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. Okay? I heard the word many in there. Didn't say one yes person. Said many advisors. Okay? The Bible also says that there's safety in the multitude of counsel. Again, we're not just going to one person and hoping they say yes, and if they do, boom, we're off to the races because we got our answer. Multitude of counsel. They bring different opinions. They bring different life experiences, different things they've overcome. Okay, we want multitude of counsel. What would prohibit us from going and asking for wise counsel? Just be like, you know what? I've got this one. I would say it's a spirit of pride, right? Pride says, I want to be a self-made man. Pride says, you know, when they write an article about me, I want those words in there, self-made. I made this decision. I did this. It was all on my own. But the Bible has an opposite perspective. The Bible says that God resists the proud person, but he gives grace to the humble. Oh, he loves the humble person. He honors the humble person. He lifts up the humble person. He promotes the humble person. God loves that spirit of humility that says, you know what? I don't know it all. You know what? Maybe I am a smart person. Maybe I am highly educated, but there's people who have gone before me that can speak some life, that can speak some wisdom into my decision-making. I can benefit from them. Right, so we want to seek that wise counsel. Proverbs 18:1-2 says, a man who isolates himself, this himself, obviously it's talking about him or her, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. A fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. Isolating yourself, not getting in relationship. We talk about relationship, getting in citizen groups. It's so important that you're not insulated and isolated so that you just make decisions on your own without any filter, without any counsel, right? God wants you to live in the context of relationships. We grow in relationships. So Solomon, he was a man like that. That's why we read that. He had anything he can ask for God, and he's like, God, I need your wisdom. I need you to speak into this situation. I don't know exactly how to go about this. The humble person is willing to invite counsel, willing to ask someone, hey, I think I've got some good experience and this is what I'm thinking, but are there any blind spots? Am I missing something? Right? Is there something I haven't considered yet? Come on, help me poke holes in this theory for me, poke holes in this decision that I'm trying to make so you can help me make the best possible decision. One final thing on that is it's great to get counsel before you make the decision. Right? You don't want to go to counseling after because it was the wrong decision. Get the counsel before you make the decision. And then you're not informing people, hey, this is what I did, and disguise it like as a prayer. It's like, well, you already made your decision. That's not exactly seeking counsel. So we said last week, we're going to talk about a few of the big decisions in life, like who to marry, maybe college, stuff like that. So who to marry? Some of you are already married. Boom, done with that. 2 Corinthians 6, 14-15 says this. It says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? Goes on to say, or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? Okay, we're just going to stick with the Bible. First thing on your list should be, they're a believer. right? Do not be unequally yoked. If it's not a believer, they could be a great friend, but I would not advise them being a lifelong spouse. You're trying to go somewhere together, right? If there's disunity, God can't command a blessing on that. He commands a blessing on unity. Matthew 12:25 says, "But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, 'Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand.'" Okay, it's just Bible. So number one, have it be a believer. Secondly, is your potential spouse a Matthew 20:28 person, right? Do they live to serve or they live to be served? Matthew 20:28 it's talking about Jesus. It says, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." And you want to find a potential spouse that's looking to serve, like you're observing their life, and they love to serve people. If they love to just be served and sit back on the couch, that's going to be your spouse the rest of your life. They ain't going to change. By the way, hoping they change after marriage is hopeful and wishful thinking. Right? Like, oh, once they get around me, I'll change them after we're married. No, you're just going to be a very, very frustrated person for a very, very long time. All right? Third, are they a forgiving person? Are they a forgiving person? Or have you noticed, man, they hold a grudge. Like someone offended them a while ago, and they can't forgive. They can't let it go. In marriage, you're going to need to forgive a lot. A lot. Okay, we're talking about big decisions in life, right? We're not just talking about the little ones. You're going to need to forgive a lot. The Bible says if you won't forgive others, how can God forgive you of your sins? Man, you want to be married to someone that's forgiving. Now, they're not, if you're leading a sinful lifestyle or making terrible decisions, you want them to just forgive and overlook and like, you're a saint even though you're not. Like, no, that's not what I'm talking about. But someone who has a genuine heart to, you know what, messed up, I'm going to release you, I'm going to forgive you. And then finally, if possible, I would encourage you to observe that person going through a difficult season in their life. Hopefully you've seen them, got to observe them go through something that's challenging, right? We plan our lives to be just a nice, smooth road, but we know our lives have some dips. There's some challenges. There's some hard things. And when you go through a hard thing, what's on the inside comes out. Okay, sometimes it's not pretty. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But if that person's never squeezed, you've never seen them in a stressful situation, you never seen them go through something where they didn't have their way or everything wasn't just going according to plan, all of a sudden, God's will crosses their will, you might want to see what comes out before you get married. Just a thought, all right? So, talking about that. Also, don't rush it, okay? Don't take too long, but don't rush it. Okay, you want to be able to see character, observe character in someone that you're considering to be your potential mate. And I know I'm not talking to the whole audience here, but for some of you that are in that season, make sure they've got character. Don't rush it. All right, moving on. We'll move on. Number five, pray. This is kingdom filter number five. Pray, the Holy Spirit. Has God spoken to me and confirmed this? Am I being led by the Holy Spirit or by being led by my flesh? The Bible says that people of faith, we walk by faith, not by sight, not by just what we see in front of us, but what we know to be true in God's word. This is when God's peace rules your heart. Okay, you want that peace in this decision-making. Pray, the Holy Spirit is gonna lead you with his peace. Jeremiah 33, verse 3 says this, "Call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." God knows things that you don't know. That's the amazing thing. But he just says, just call to me. Just reach out. Just ask. Just pray. And I'm going to show you things. I'll reveal things to you. You can see we're only right in front of you. You know, we can only see so far. But God sees it all, and he wants to help you. He wants to reveal things to you. You know, there's also power in praying with specificity. Right, not the general prayer. There's a great general prayer. Lord, bless my day. Help me have a great day. Okay, God, I don't know if you answered that because I just asked you to just bless my day and help me have a great day. But if you start praying specifically, God, I need you to do this. I'm work on my behalf. Because God, he's not Santa Claus, but he wants to work on your behalf. He wants to show up in a big way. He wants to show himself faithful in your life. So if you start praying specifically, God, I've got this interview at 12 something. God, I have this presentation. Lord, I need you to just help me have clear thinking. Lord, there's this thing that's happening in 2 weeks. Could you show me a sign before? Like, pray specifically, and you'll start seeing, man, God's answer. Like, he's answering my prayers because he knows what your prayers are. They're detailed, all right? Another big decision that we sometimes come across is where to live. God, where do I live? I'll encourage you briefly in this. God has a place where he wants you to live because he has a sphere of influence for you. It may not always be dictated by where's the best weather. It's like, no, God, where do you want me? God, what do you have for me? What people do you want me to reach? 2 Corinthians 10, 13-16 says this, "We, however, will not boast beyond proper limits. We will confine our boasting to the sphere of service God himself has assigned to us, a sphere that also includes you." And verse 16b goes on to say, "For we do not want to boast about work already done in someone else's territory." God calls you to a sphere of influence. He doesn't want you to live a tumbleweed life blowing from place to place. Now, I want to clarify that. Obviously, there's some people that are in a season of life, whether you're in the military or government, and you get moved from place to place. I'm not talking about that. Or you're a college student. You're here, and then you're there. But talking about, okay, God, it's time for me to settle down. It's time for roots to go down deep. And as long as you're in a place, I love that there's amazing people at this church that they know they're only here for a season, but they come and they let their roots go down as deep as they can for as long as they're here, and God makes them fruitful, and then they go to the next place equipped versus, I'm only here for a few months or a few years. I'm just gonna kind of blow through. No. Let your roots go deep. Psalm 92:13 says, "Those whose lives are planted in the house of God will flourish in the courts of our God." Like, there's a flourishing that happens when there's a planting that goes down deep. But if you keep hacking off the roots and moving them from place to place to place, it's hard for that plant to grow. All right. Number six, wait. We're talking about kingdom filters. Number six is wait, an inner witness. Okay, again, we're moving to the more subjective here. So do I have peace that this is the will of God? Does my spirit bear witness? This is when my heart doesn't condemn me. It's like, okay, I'm waiting on the Lord. Isaiah 40:31 says this. It says, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Psalm 37:34 says, "Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land." There's a waiting on the Lord, and then he does something on your behalf. Waiting on him. But we don't want to get weird. Don't start getting spooky. Don't be that weird Christian. I'm sorry, but you know, like, please. God calls us to be wise, but he didn't call us to be weird. So we start with the objective. We're moving through the filters. We see, does this line up with God's word? Okay, does it line up with his word? Am I submitted to the cross? And then we're moving toward the subjective. You've cleared these other hurdles. Isaiah 30:21 says this, "Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.'" But if there's so much noise in your life, if there's so much clutter, if your schedule's so busy that you can't set aside time to wait on the Lord, you won't hear the voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it," because there's just noise. So wait, take time, wait on the Lord, wait on the Lord. James 3:17 says, "But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others." Brings peace, the wisdom that's from above. Does it bring confusion? I mentioned that earlier. God's not the author of confusion. He's a God of peace. He's a God of order. Number seven, moving along. Almost done. Number seven is watch. Circumstances. Okay, watch. Is there an open door? Have circumstances lined up. This is when circumstances confirm God's will for your life. Revelations 3 verse 8 says, "I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut." Okay, that no one can shut. Are there open doors confirming this decision that you're going to make? It's God opening the doors. And when he does open them, you can have faith that no man can shut them. So when you're making your decision, you're not making this decision in fear. Come on, we do things in faith. The Bible says whatever's not done in faith is sin, okay? So when we got the green light and God's opening the door, we're doing this in faith, not worrying and fearing. But a thing about watching in the circumstances is that there's a time and a season for everything under heaven. Ecclesiastes 3 tells us, and it goes the whole list about times and seasons, okay? So it might be the right thing for your life, but it could be the wrong season. If it's the wrong season but the right thing, it's the wrong thing. Okay? There's a time and a season for everything under heaven. Maybe God's spoken a word. You're like, man, I got this word from God. Well, is it for now? Okay, the Lord has spoken many, many words over to my life, over to my wife and I over the years, but we have to test those words. God, is this now? God, I hear you speaking, but I'm going to wait. When he spoke for us to move out here, we waited a year. We went through a whole journey. Okay, there's something that God spoke early in our marriage and something we dreamed of, and he's like, man, we got verses for it. That was almost 19 years ago. It's literally starting to happen right now. But there were things that weren't in place yet. We shouldn't have done it by then. Finances weren't right. Different things weren't in order. But it was a word God gave us, but it wasn't for now. It wasn't for then, but it is for now. So there's a time and a season. Make sure the circumstances, understanding your season, helps you with understanding God's will for your life. Deuteronomy 7:22 says it this way. It says, the Lord your God will drive those nations out ahead of you little by little. You will not clear them away all at once, otherwise the wild animals would multiply too quickly for you. What is he saying? He's saying, maybe you wanted it all now. Maybe you thought you should have had it all 2 months ago. But God knows your beginning from your end, and he knows maybe it would have overwhelmed you then. Maybe you didn't have the character to contain all that he wanted to do in your life. Maybe it would have ruined you. But as you've waited on the Lord, as you've gone through this journey, he's getting you ready. He's preparing you. You can say, Lord, is now the season? Is now the time? I feel like you're preparing me. Number eight, wow. Number eight is wow. Signs and wonders. Have I received any supernatural confirmation? God's a supernatural God. He's a God of miracles. He can do things above and beyond all that you could ask or think or imagine. He's a big God. Okay, so are there supernatural signs confirming what you're asking God to do? In a recent thing, my wife and I, just to give you an example, we've been believing for this house, and so we started taking steps. As we started saying, Lord, can you do this? And he would do it. Lord, can you do this by this time? And he would do it. Lord, we need this to happen, and he would do it. And it was things we couldn't do on our own. It had to be God, but he just kept doing it. He's like, okay, I'm just going to keep taking steps. You know, the Bible says that the steps of a righteous person are ordered of the Lord. The steps. So when you feel God saying, I think now is the time, or this may be something, just take a step. Doesn't mean you dive full in, but take a step. And the cool thing is that the Lord will order your steps. He'll place your foot where it's supposed to go. But what that verse doesn't say is the ideas, the good intentions, the dreams, the wishes of a righteous person are ordered of the Lord. No, you've got to take a step of faith. God's a God of action. And when you take that step of faith, he won't let you fall. Amen? Number nine, last one. Produce godly fruit. Is this going to produce godly fruit in your life? What is this decision? What are going to be the long-term ramifications? Because decisions we make, whether we like it or not, we may make it in the moment and we're thinking about next week, but it could have very, very long-term ramifications for your life. And so we want to make sure, am I thinking long-term? Am I thinking long-term? Is this going to leave a legacy for my children and my children's children? Is this decision I'm making going to honor God? Is it going to honor those people around me? Is it going to help my relationship be successful? Or is this just a short-term, will this produce bad fruit in my life? What is this going to produce? Well, as we conclude here today, I just want to encourage you. I wanted to blaze through those because I wanted to get them all in just so you can have some practical tools for making decisions. But God's with you. And maybe you've made some decisions in the past that didn't quite turn out right, that, you know what, maybe you still regret. I've got good news for you today. We serve a redeeming God. The Bible says a righteous man falls seven times but rises again. It doesn't say a righteous man falls seven times and then just starts posting on social media about how bad their life is. No, no, you get back up again. God's got a destiny. He's got a purpose. Maybe you made a bad decision. Okay, you've got some tools. You can start walking through some steps. Lord, help me to be a godly decision maker. Help me to honor you, and he will. He's a good God. He's got good plans for you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, just for a moment of privacy, I want to encourage you, when things don't quite go according to plan, Maybe something happens outside of what you thought should have happened or what God should have done. Don't be deceived. Don't let your faith get shipwrecked when you suffer natural consequences for decisions you've made. Don't blame God for personal decisions that have gone awry. God's a good God. And yeah, there's natural consequences for some things we've done. But we serve a redeeming God. So we want to keep our faith intact throughout this journey. And we definitely do not want to confuse God with the enemy. The enemy comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But he has come that you would have life and have it to the full. Amen. So still with every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want to give you a brief moment. Just say, you know what, Jesus, I need you in my life. If you've never made that decision, or maybe you're like, I've walked away. I've just kind of done my own thing for a season. Jesus, I want to welcome you to be the Lord and Savior of my life. If that's you, just simply lift your hand. I'm not going to call you out or have you come to the front. Just simply raise your hand and say, that's me, Pastor. 1, 2, 3. If that's you, just simply slip up your hand and say, thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. I see your hand. Just another moment. Say, you know what, Jesus, I need you to be the Lord and to be front and center. Amen. Let's just all pray this prayer together. Dear Jesus, thank you that you love me. God, thank you that you forgive me. Thank you that you remove my sins as far as the east is from the west. You're a good God. I love you. I need you in my life. Please forgive me and help me to walk with you all the days of my life. I love you, Jesus. Amen.